Would-be contractors file more than 2,000 bid protests each year against the government. But are some contractors more trigger-happy than others? Last week in our series, Inside the World's Biggest Buyer, we took a look at an exhaustive study of bid contracts by Stephen Mazur, a professor at Willamette University in Oregon. Joining us now with a different perspective is federal contract attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Good morning, Mr. Petrillo.
Good morning.
So, last week, we heard Mr. Mazur say, and his report, argue that bid protests help keep the federal procurement system honest. Do you agree?
I tend to agree. I think they're practically the only mechanism we have for transparency and accountability in the contract award process.
Now, his contention in the report that he did is that because there's only a couple thousand of a year compared to all of the possible protestable contract actions, you know, it's a million out of many million, that really we focus too much on it. It's not that big a deal.
Now, I would intend to agree with him, and I'm a little surprised that he took that position because in his actual report, he seems to spend a lot of time studying those few protests and even goes so far as to say that maybe some protesters should be barred for filing multiple unsuccessful protests.
So that would be almost like the British system where you pay if you lose in some kind of in civil cases.
He does propose that for people who have multiple unsuccessful protests. And I just don't see that as being a big problem here. If there were some serial protesters like that who were gumming up the system, I think he would have been able to identify them in his report.
What sort of process does a contractor go through when they're trying to figure out whether or not to protest a bid? I mean, is it something that they just do as a matter of course, or is it really a more strategic move, and do they have to sort of check off things on a checklist before deciding whether to do it?
Well, in my experience, it has been strategic, and the protester tends to look at its relationship with the agency as a whole before setting out on doing a protest. One of the points that Professor Mazur makes that I fully agree with is the need for providing as much information as possible in a debriefing. Some agencies seem to think that if they say as little as possible in the debriefing, they will not be giving companies grounds for protest. And I think the opposite is true. If a losing company feels that they're being stonewalled, they suspect that there's something out there that's illegal or improper, and the agency is trying to hide it. So Professor Mazur and I both think that providing the full amount of information in a debriefing that an agency is supposed to, and even going the extra mile, is a good idea for discouraging protests and avoiding them.
Now, protests often accompany the big, well-known types of awards, the multi-hundred million dollar ones. Is that just a matter of course because there is so much at stake?
Well, those certainly our procurements where investing the resources and making a protest and, you know, the risk involved in angering your customer is worth the gamble. But frankly, it doesn't take much more than a letter and a postage stamp to file a protest. And some small companies do file protests with very little resources devoted to them. Those are, as Dr. Mazur points out, frequently unsuccessful.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell in Washington. And that's a good point. I mean, often you hear in private conversations, contractors say, well, it's not a good idea to sue your customer, so that's why we didn't file a protest. I guess in some sense it's a lawsuit. But is that really something the government tends to have retribution against in your experience?
I think it varies. I think if you file a well-reasoned protest, you withdraw the protest if it turns out you don't have the proof necessary to prove it. I think most agencies can be professional about that and understand it. The statistic that stands out in this study is one that I'm aware of, which is GAO's computation of a 45% effectiveness rate for protesters. And that means that in 45% of the protests that are filed, something is done to benefit the protester, whether it's a voluntary recompetition by the agency or the agency agreeing after alternate dispute resolution to take steps, or the protest is sustained. And that statistic strikes me as a warning sign. If 45% of the protester procurements require some kind of remediation, then it seems to me that quality control isn't what it should be in this process.
Okay, clarify that a little bit. 45% of the protesters don't prevail.
It's calculated. GAO adds their statistics up in a very, very funny way. It's quite common for a single procurement to have more than one protest the way GAO counts them. Different protest filings on different dates are counted as individual different protests, and different protests by different companies in the same procurement are counted by as different protests. So if you have 1,000 protests against DOD in a year, it's probably 400 to 600 procurements. What GAO is saying is, of those 1,000 protests, in 45%, an error is found and something is done about it. And that seems to me to be a very, very high percentage of error.
But would you say that even though something is done about it after the fact, agencies are making changes so that they're proactive for the next set of contracts or similar contracts that they bid out in not repeating mistakes? Or in fact, are you seeing that whatever resolution there is very specific to this one instance?
I don't see any mechanism in the agency for doing an after-action report, drawing lessons from that, and then applying them in the future. And I think that's a weakness in the system. Agencies can learn from protests, and I'm sure some of them do, but I don't see an institutional mechanism in most agencies for accomplishing that goal. And that's a shame, because it's avoiding an opportunity to improve the process.
Well, given that 45% defective rate, does that make you think that there's probably a lot of contracts that could protest but just don't, because maybe the customer, the vendor rather, feels, you know, not worth it, I'll go on to the next thing?
Well, in my experience, people don't take that decision lightly, and there are instances where maybe they could protest, but companies decide not to.
All right. So in your expectation, given the fact that budgets will be constrained in the next couple of years, at least, do you expect to see more protests because the stakes are higher?
I would think so, for precisely that reason. There's just a lot more at stake in each procurement, and some of the reluctance to protest is going to be overcome because of that.